claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that brand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm about 90% recovered from my recent health encounter, which took me out for a couple of weeks. Today, I'm going to use the first hour to review some of the major stories of the day and then open the lines for the second. I know many of you have felt a sense of frustration over being unable to call in with your comments and critiques. So we'll have a whole hour, the second hour, for that, where I welcome, and I'll, of course, announce the number to call in and reach Mitchell, and for those who do not. Biden has gone whole hog with mandates and mocking concerns about freedom, the ability of Americans to resist an intrusion into their bodies. It's completely outrageous. It's violative of the Hippocratic Oath, by the way, which doctors take that says first do no harm, because these vaccines are doing massive harm and killing, by my estimate, perhaps as many as a million or more already, though the news is being suppressed, not to mention all kinds of neurological damage. The Red Cross cannot accept blood from vaccinated Americans because it does not have antibodies. Now, listen to that. The Red Cross not able to accept blood from vaccinated Americans because they do not have antibodies. In other words, a vaccine to wipe out your antibodies. That means the next time, the next flu season, which won't be that long in coming, we're going to find vast numbers of Americans who are stricken down by threats to their health that otherwise they would have been able to relatively effortlessly withstand because of these vaccines. And I remind you, they are still experimental. One of the falsehoods Biden peddled here was that the vaccines have received FDA approval. That is untrue. There was a very clever press announcement that was actually saying the FDA had approved a new vaccine with a funny name, Comedy or something like that, that's not even available in the United States, concealing the fact that the mRNA vaccines remain experimental. And frankly, because they are experimental, even life insurance policies aren't going to pay off. You can't take an experimental vaccine and then you die from it and the life insurance policy pay off. That's one of their exclusions. Here we have the White House releasing a video Saturday of Joe Biden promoting COVID-19 vaccination, talking remotely with a vaccine hesitant black woman who recently got her first COVID-19 Pfizer shot. This is just awful. Biden complained about vaccine information even as he was peddling it and mocked those choosing not to get vaccinated as being concerned about freedom. Biden himself peddled misinformation by telling Stephanie the Pfizer won't work unless she gets her second shot, where even the CDC, which by the way is a private company masquerading as a federal agency, shows a Pfizer vaccine is 82% effective with just one dose. Stephanie said FDA approval of the Pfizer caused her to overcome her concerns about reports of the vaccine side effect. But as I said, that was pure propaganda. The FDA has not approved the Pfizer vaccine. Biden repeated his attack line on those not wanting to get vaccinated, saying, this is an epidemic of the unvaccinated, not the vaccinated. Anyone who's vaccinated, not vaccinated, is in real trouble with this Delta variant. Well, right off the bat, the Delta variant appears to be the name they're giving to those who are affected by the vaccine. So they show new symptoms. That's the Delta variant. Think about it this way. If the vaccines work, then why would there be any threat from the unvaccinated? When Biden declares that there's a threat to the vaccinated from the unvaccinated, he's acknowledging that the vaccines do not work. And if the vaccine do not work, if you could still get COVID, still be transmissible, still have to wear a mask, why bother? Why take the risk? In response to Stephanie saying she is pretty scared about the stories people were telling, Biden complained about misinformation and politicalization. He mocked concerns about freedom with a clenched fist. There's so much misinformation that's out there, it's become awful political. You know, it's about freedom, it's about this, it's about that. When you get a shot for measles, it's not about freedom. It's making sure you don't get the measles. But the vaccine doesn't work. This is all outrageous. And Biden, of course, and the government and the CDC and the NIH and the WHO have been major sources of false information. Here you have Biden saying, I know some folks are hesitant to get vaccinated, but the vaccine is safe, effective, and the best way to protect yourself and those you love. This is completely and totally false. This is grossly misleading. Here we have Judy Mikovits, who along with Sherry Tenpenny and Luc Montagnier have been warning about the serious dangers, where she is predicting that the COVID vaccine will kill 50 million Americans. Frankly, I believe that is an understatement. That's a low number. That's grossly underestimating. What we have to understand is there are guidelines for the ethical conduct of research in the area of medicine that were encapsulated by the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code was adopted by the world as international law in the wake of the discovery that Dr. Joseph Mengele had been conducting experiments involuntarily on POWs during World War II. The Nuremberg Code aimed to protect human subjects from enduring the kind of cruelty and exploitation the prisoners endured at concentration camps. Actually, I believe his experiments were outside of the concentration camp, but some may have been. The 10 elements of the code are first, voluntary consent. Now, for those unaware, voluntary consent means you must be fully informed of both the risks and the benefits. You have to know the downside of these vaccines. But of course, they cannot tell you the downside because these are experimental and the long-term effects are not known. So what's going on here is right off the bat, you cannot be informed in order to grant consent because nobody knows the long-term effects, and those that are showing up are horrific and indicate that this vaccine is going to cause far more damage than good. You must also be informed of the alternatives, which in this case, it would include HCQ and ivermectin. And for all the effort to trash them both, we know the Journal of Virology back in 2005 published an article extolling the virtues of HCQ as a wonder drug for the predecessor virus, the SARS-CoV-1, that it would cure it if you had it and prevent it if you didn't. And we know ivermectin does a tremendous job, very high success rate. I myself took ivermectin during my health crisis, and I'm confident it made a real difference to me. Well, you've heard a lot of attacks on ivermectin, and even the PACE variant that is sold in feed stores, well, it turns out chemically, I have been informed, they're indistinguishable, though you would want to take in relatively small quantity. Not that would be suitable for a large farm animal, for example. But the fact is the FDA approved ivermectin for human use back in 1996. You want to appreciate the extent of the misinformation and propaganda we're given. There's a perfect illustration. Second, the results of any experiment must be for the greater good of society. Well, then in this case, it appears to be a massive depopulation program. More about that as we proceed, but remember, Deagle.com has projected that the U.S. population is going to drop by 265 million between 2020, when the population stood at 330 million, and 2025, which according to the latest estimate is 65 million. Is that for the greater good of society? Well, the genocidal globalists think so. They want to reduce the world's population from 8 billion to something like 500 million in accordance with a Georgia Guidestone. Is that for the good of society? Human experiments should be based on previous animal experiments. That's the third principle. Well, they claim they skipped the animal experiments in order to get it into the public hand on an emergency basis. But that's a violation of the Nuremberg Code all by itself. Personally, I'm convinced they didn't skip the animal experiments. The animals all died. Meanwhile, experiments should be conducted by avoiding physical, mental suffering and injury. Well, that's not happening. Blood clots, heart attacks, brain damage, Parkinson's disease, all these mental and physical injuries are taking place. Fifth, no experiment should be conducted if it's believed to cause death or disability. Well, what a gross violation here. What a gross violation. Plus, the risk should never exceed the benefits. Adequate facilities should be used to protect subjects. Experiments should be conducted only by qualified scientists. Subjects should be able to end their participation at any time. But with Biden's mandates directing the whole federal government, all federal workers have to get a vax, and instructing private companies that if they have 100 or more workers that they have to have them get the vax are gross. These are manipulative. This is tyrannical. This is a form of medical tyranny. The scientists in charge finally must be prepared to terminate the experiment when injury, disability, or death is likely to occur. No question about it here. It's outrageous. In the past, many medical procedures have been taken off the market with a tiny, tiny number. I mean, a handful of serious injuries or death. And here we have them by the hundreds of thousands. I even am convinced, since the reporting system only reports 1%, that the actual number of deaths already, I believe, in the United States exceeds 1 million, and worldwide, no doubt more. Remember, when you talk about a decision-making matrix, as long as you think the vax is good, you'll believe that you can save yourself if COVID is real and merely have suffered a minor inconvenience of an unnecessary vaccination if it's fake. But when you understand, so it looks like a no-brainer, of course, go ahead, take the vax. But once you understand the vax is bad, once you see through the propaganda and disinformation, you understand you're doing yourself a great risk of harm or even death. Don't get the jab. Don't get it. Meanwhile, The Economist has proven America knows Biden didn't win legitimately. Even independents increasingly know Joe Biden did not legitimately win the 2020 election. Here's a survey from The Economist, where 42% of nonpartisan voters recognize that there was a problem with the 2020 vote. Even independents increasingly know. That's quite stunning. Joe Biden went to New Jersey. No supporters showed up. This is like in Phoenix. Just a few days before the election, Joe Biden made a joint appearance with Kamala Harris. And guess what? No one showed up. No one showed up. And yet Arizona's supposed to be in the Biden column. But Trump supporters lined the streets to tell Joe what they thought of him. Here's a nice comment from my blog. Biden is a serial liar. His lies are staggering. Did you see his impromptu press conference where he states he'd seen many photos of dead kids at Sandy Hook? He also said he'd seen a photo of a little boy with his jaw blown off by a bullet. This is the kind of liar Biden can be. Lies flow out of him like water cascading over Niagara Falls. Believe me, that one about the jaw blown off is supposed to be Noah Posner, the youngest of the 20 kids. But I'm telling you, this is all fake, all fabricated. Look at one of my studies about Sandy Hook. Say, Sandy Hook update. Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the deep state strikes back, which I did with Brian Ruhe, R-U-H-E. You can find on BitChute or other. Just look up for Sandy Hook update or my more recent. What happened at Sandy Hook during the False Flag and Conspiracy 2020 conference, which you can download for free to your own laptop, desktop, by just going to falseflagconspiracies2020.com. And you'll see where Kelly Watt astutely observed a striking resemblance between little Noah and a fellow named Michael Vabner, who was supposed to be his older stepbrother. She showed photos of the two to friends, and they said, oh, yeah, that's the same person. So we undertook a research project, six of us. We discovered they had the same eyes, the same eyebrows, the same nose, the same mouth, the same ears, the same shape of skull. So I invited Larry Rivera. Unknowingly, I didn't tell him the subject or it had anything to do with Sandy Hook. I just sent him two suitable photographs from the same perspective and asked him if these were the same person. And he conducted a study where he had previously demonstrated that Lee Oswald was indeed in the doorway of the Texas School Book Depository when the Kennedy motorcade passed by, which not only confirms that he cannot have been the lone gunman, but he cannot have been one of the, it turns out, eight shooters. Larry did a brilliant job, and you can see little Noah turn into Michael Vabner. Plus, I'm unaware of any photographs of any of the deceased children to be available anywhere after all of our research. Biden is just reading words. He doesn't know what they mean. He doesn't know if they're true, doesn't know if they're false. Here's a nice image, 50% liar, 50% con man, 100% full of shit, Joe Biden. That's exactly right. Meanwhile, Larry Elder is in California, where he's the leading candidate to succeed Gavin Newsom as governor, should the recall be successful. It turns out Gavin Newsom has to get more than 50% of the vote in order to remain in office. If it falls short, then it's simply a matter of plurality. Who gets the most votes, that will become the new governor. This is how Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor with a previous recall in California. Now they're doing everything they can to jury-rig the outcome by passing a new voter procedure where you can print your own ballot at home. They've tried to figure out a way to make it virtually audit-proof. This is the depths of corruption to which the Democrats have sunk. Now, Larry Elder went to Venice, which is a very popular Pacific Beach community, where he was attacked by homeless. This is very bizarre. My suspicion is that they were paid to attack him, and this was just a classic little false flag on a tiny, tiny scale. Well, remember, as I've mentioned many times, Barack Obama legitimized false flag attacks right here in the United States, staged by the government when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used without. That's organizing riots and protests and all kinds of other stunning events that the CIA has deployed again and again and again to destabilize governments right here in the United States by means of the Smith Modernization Act of 2012, just in time for Sandy Hook. Larry Elder's scheduled tour was cut short with a leading Republican exiting in an SUV after being angrily confronted by a group of homeless. What is it? They're afraid of Elder becomes governor, that they won't get so much money on the dole as the Democrats are handing out right and left. Elder, who had arrived in his new Recall Express campaign bus, spent roughly 12 minutes in the neighborhood, his departure hastened by what appeared to be an egg thrown in the candidate's direction by a woman who was wearing a gorilla outfit, a gorilla mask. How outrageous is that? Obviously a racist attack, completely inappropriate. Actually throwing an egg is an assault, is a threat to hurt somebody, battery when you connect. So this woman, I believe the egg missed Larry, but she was committing an assault. The woman also actually took a swing at a man who was part of Elder's team. That is battery. Before they left Los Angeles, my security detail was physically assaulted, shot with a pellet gun, hit with projectiles. The intolerant left will not stop us. We will recall Gavin Newsom. We will save California. Turns out his visit to Venice had begun, auspiciously enough, with a handful of Gold's Gym patrons gathering outside the red and black campaign bus to cheer the candidate as he stepped off. The heckling began a few minutes later. The community advocates had taken fellow candidate Caitlyn Jenner on a similar tour when a single heckler had followed but not substantially disrupted. The confrontation with Elder heated up as the group turned onto encampment-filled Third Avenue with a handful of people circling the group, screaming profanities at Elder and shouting to him to get the hell out of here. He has no business down here, said Sarah Duke, a homeless woman, 3.5 months pregnant. If you ain't going to help us, move on. But why would they think that Larry Elder wouldn't impose more reasonable policies on California? They're going to benefit the whole state and eventually the homeless as well. The candidate actually went to Brent's Deli in Northridge, too, and received a warm reception. Patrons clapping, cheering, filming. He spent about 5 minutes, took 8 to 10 Rubens along with him. I like Rubens myself. Meanwhile, we have a brilliant piece by Edward Hendry, who's done so much great work here, parsing the dystopian vaccine mandate speech from President Biden. Before the president put his July 19th order into effect, he issued a superseding order on September 9th, 2021, requiring all federal workers and contractors to be vaccinated. He did not announce any exemptions. He characterized the COVID vaccines as safe, effective, and free. And we know that's false. The bottom line, of course, he's making here, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated co-workers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America. As Hendry observes, That statement makes no sense. If the vaccines are effective, the vaccinated person should not be in danger of infection from an unvaccinated person. The whole objective is to protect the recipient from disease. Biden impeaches his own credibility, undermines his stated rationale for the spread of the disease by admitting the vaccine do not protect unvaccinated persons from COVID. He implicitly admits his mandate will be ineffective in achieving its objective. In the very announcement requiring vaccinations for federal workers, Biden acknowledges he knows the vaccines do not prevent infection or the spread. It's outrageous. It is disgusting. But this is what we're getting from the present president of the United States, who, as we know, improperly elected during a massively manipulated election on a scale heretofore unprecedented in the history of the United States. Meanwhile, members of Congress and their staffs are exempt from the mandate. My belief is there ought to be a law that Congress can pass, no law imposing a requirement on American citizens that they are not likewise required to satisfy. They are treating themselves as an elite group above the law. Biden issued two executive orders Thursday mandating federal workers, federal contractors, and workers for companies with more than 100 employees take the COVID-19 jab or face unemployment and fines. While it applies to employees of the executive branch, the House and Senate are part of the legislative. And of course, the courts are part of the judicial, so the new orders do not apply to them. They've also exempted U.S. Post Office employees from the mandate, which I suspect is because they know the election was stolen with all the mail-in ballots. And there's a fear on the Biden part that if they subject them to this mandate, that they are going to protest and reveal what really happened. One more story as we hit the break. 26 out of 27 Lancet scientists who trashed the theory that COVID leaked from a Chinese lab turned out to have links to the Wuhan lab itself. How bad is that? Be right back after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Listen, I committed an oversight here because I had invited a guest today, Danny Siras, and we'll see if we can get Danny on the line now. I've asked Mitchell to give him a call, so we'll see if we can bring him in. Meanwhile, top FDA officials are resigning to avoid prosecution for crimes against humanity as the CDC continues to commit genocide. It's fascinating that two senior FDA officials who have overseen decades of mass vaccinations have now finally reached the end of their tolerance for crimes against humanity. They resigned earlier in the week, citing the astonishing fact that the White House, CDC, and UN have conspired to lock the FDA out of vaccine approval decisions, bypassing FDA regulatory authority and pushing vaccines for political reasons that have no scientific basis. Apparently, the outrageous fraud being committed by the Biden regime was too much, even for these top FDA officials. I'm very pleased to have Danny here. Danny, I was explaining how my lapse to have you on. I'm so glad we've connected here. I'm just reporting how Biden, these mandates are violations of the Nuremberg Code. They appear to be completely illegal. They're bringing about very powerful replies. One of the most interesting is the following. America's Civil War map has been drawn as the American dream turns into a nightmare. State leaders vow to fight the Biden regime to the bitter end. The Biden White House occupier took the stage on September 9th and basically said the U.S. Constitution means nothing in comparison to his executive power and offered up his decrees of businesses with more than 100 employees being fined if they don't mandate vaccines. Then the old man decided to yell at Americans about losing patience with them before threatening to have governors that stand up against his tyrannical decrees removed, again, using the full force of the executive branch. It's outrageous, but there are a good number of states, more than 20, already announcing their opposition in upcoming court challenges, including Alaska, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Iowa, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Arizona. It's also been observed here, Kim Poole, a libertarian who hasn't been overly partisan, has just shared his opinion, where we're getting many very strong opinions from these governors. He published, "Go F Yourself, Joe Biden," and college students we know at football games are speaking out. They're having chants of F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. This is completely outrageous. So how would an all-out civil war play out? Look to the map here and ask yourself, which of those colored states produce more food for the nation collectively? Which of them believe in the Second Amendment? Which do not? Which people in this country own weapons and which treat them with contempt? Who is better prepared to resist force mandate? Last but not least, which of the state citizens are willing to stand up and back their governors who are fighting the Biden regime's overreach? It looks as though this cultural Cold War is just about to get hot. Danny, your thoughts.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Very clearly, Danny.
Oh, okay, sir. I think it's definitely an overreach. But one of the things I'm thinking, it's ridiculous what we're seeing, and I'm glad to see all these states standing up, particularly Florida. DeSantis is really striking at the heart of all this nonsense coming out of the Biden regime. But I actually believe, sir, there's a lot more to the timing of it. I think he's trying to distract from the Arizona elections. We had that that information that came out on a partial on the audit the other day, and it seems like right after that they went nuts, and then all of a sudden we started seeing this sort of stuff. We're hearing from Alan Dershowitz, who's saying this is unconstitutional. So I'm not sure what's going on, sir. I think the whole thing is ridiculous. And I don't think anybody's going to comply. I don't think any of it is enforceable.
That's very, very interesting, Danny. And of course, you're out in California. What do you see, just to pick up on another issue here, about the recall election? It looks as though the Democrats are going to do everything they possibly can to steal this election for Nancy Pelosi's nephew, the present governor, Gavin Newsom.
Well, yeah, we're all waiting for the cheating to go on. As you know, everybody in California was forced to do a mail-in ballot again against our will, of course, citing COVID, which is ridiculous because, going to the polls is very easy to do. So they're playing some shenanigans with the drop box locations again. Now there's no live polls like there normally is. You have to go and find a mailbox somewhere to drop your ballot in. I also saw I got a notice that they were going to try and cheat by already asking for a forensic audit up front. And then there's two versions of it. One, they said if Newsom loses, they plan on blaming it on Mike Lindell and the symposium, and saying that hackers had been involved to hack the election. And then two, if he wins, they were going to have their own forensic audit to cover up the fraud. So either way, they have plans in place. And then, as we all know, we've seen many articles about the felon that got caught down in Southern California at a 7-Eleven, recently released from prison, and he was caught with over 300 stolen ballots with other mail in his vehicle, along with a loaded firearm and drugs. So to me, that signals that they have people out there trying to steal ballots out of the mail. So we know the fraud is on, sir. They're going to pull every trick in the book. They cannot afford to lose California because, somebody like Larry Elder can come in and expose the fraud for years that's been at play. So they're going to pull every trick they can. At least that's my opinion, sir.
Oh, I think there isn't any doubt about it, Danny. I mean, the Democrats have just become unbelievably corrupt. And I find that just shocking, because for most of my adult life, I actually voted for the Democrat candidate in the belief that they were better than the Republican until Trump came on the scene, when it was obvious that he was head and shoulder preferable to Hillary Clinton, who's one of the great monsters of our time. And ever since, they've been manipulating the situation, including with the January 6th, intrusion into the Capitol, which appears to be completely fabricated, where even the FBI has now acknowledged that there was, well, they're claiming there was no previous planning, but actually we know there was previous planning, that there was planning by Antifa, where James, a brother of John Sullivan, the Antifa leader, said that his brother had led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters to create chaos, where the Capitol Police simply let them all in. They were taking selfies with them. I mean, give me a break. Danny, this is so outrageous. And I think, you know, Barack Obama, once again, I mentioned earlier in the show how he had nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 to allow the same kind of stage fake riots and other events within the United States that were heretofore only allowable or permissible outside of the United States, just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, then followed by the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. I have investigated all of these in collaboration with other experts. Every one of them was a staged event, completely consistent with Barack Obama's allowing them to happen. I mean, Danny, it is disgusting beyond words. I think if an accurate history of the U.S. ever appears, and frankly, I'm not overly confident that that will ever happen, since as Voltaire observed, history appears to be a pack of lies, the living play upon the dead. Barack Obama is going to go down as a complete and total disaster, having done massive destruction to the United States, sad to say.
Well, yes, sir. I mean, you know, just to add to that, the January 6th, I would encourage everybody, sir, to go to your BitChute channel and look at I believe the video is about 23, 24 minutes, and I call it one of the most highly censored videos from YouTube, where it clearly shows that there was a bunch of crisis actors in there against the door when that woman was shot or supposedly shot that day. And you can clearly see that whole crowd in there is full of crisis actors, including the police officers that were there with their fake weapons, pointing them around, acting very clumsily when somebody's laying on the ground. You can actually see the girl smearing blood on herself. That whole thing was a play, sir. I know many of our audience has probably seen that, but if you haven't seen it, I can tell you every time I witness somebody seeing that for the first time, it's quite eye-opening to them what really happened at the Capitol. I know we've talked about it many times on the show before, but to show you how highly sensitive that video is, not too long ago, I tried to load it up on another YouTube channel as an archive video, and I had not barely even finished loading it, and I was going to load it up as private just to store the video. It wasn't even being published for the public. And as soon as it finished loading, within about 30 seconds, I got a warning from YouTube on another account, and it basically struck the video down, and it sent me a notice saying that was prohibited content, and that if I tried to load up that particular video again, the channel would be taken down. And I had never seen anything like that before, them act like that before. It was quite amazing how afraid they are of that particular video, sir.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Danny. It is on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. You're going to have to scroll down because I think there must be 30 or 40 videos that have been posted since that. But if you scroll down far enough, you're going to find it. What really happened at the Capitol is very revealing, Danny. Yes, it's about 21 minutes, and it shows the crowd in front of the Capitol and how the police, the Capitol police, let them in. It shows there were managers and directors telling people where to go and what to do. It tracks inside the Capitol, where in the hallway that was blocked off, where Ashley Babbitt seeks to climb through the window and is shot with no warning whatsoever, when she's not posing any threat of bodily harm or whatsoever to anyone, including the officer who shoots her. And while when she falls back, she is set down rather gently. It looks to me there was no blood, but they smear some on. There was a little blood packet appears to be passed. It looks like a completely staged shooting, which I reinforce by observing that no one reacted to the shooting. Now, if this had been a bona fide shooting that was spontaneous and unexpected, then you would have had people ducking for cover, screaming and all that, but none of that happened. Danny, that must have struck you at the time as well. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, I analyzed that video in depth, and one of the things I noticed was the police officers there, when the round went off in their direction, they did not even flinch. They were holding weapons. They didn't even point their weapons at the shooter. As a matter of fact, one of them gave him a thumbs up and smiled comically. And I know we're on the radio and people can't see this, but you know, maybe someday we can do a further breakdown on this video. But when you see him smile comically and give the thumbs up with no reaction to the police when a round just came off in their direction, sir, that's just not normal behavior by anybody, especially the police. Nobody even flinched when the round went off. The other thing that you see is the gentleman that fired the shot, he appears to be a black gentleman out of a doorway, and he's holding a standard issue Glock pistol, okay? So a lot of people are familiar with the Glock firearm, the handgun made by Glock. And when he's pointing it at her, the problem is when the round goes off, sir, when he's pointing it at her, the handgun is pointing up towards the ceiling, and he's standing about 15 feet away from her. So when you pause the video when the round goes off and you look at the trajectory would have been way over her head and up into the ceiling. He wasn't even pointing the firearm at her. So for her to take a direct shot in the mid-chest where she spreads the blood and gets caught with the blood plaque, spending it. When they lower her body down, when she falls, she doesn't even fall back. She like almost gets off of it. She's helped down. Everybody's ready to catch her. They put a pillow under her head when they lay her back and there's no blood. And then you can actually see on the video the smearing of the blood that shows up after the fact. It is so phony. It's, you know, I've seen sitcoms that look much more real than this, and I'm not joking. When you watch it, when you're a regular person, you watch that video for the first time. And I've sat around groups of roundtable where I've played that video, and I've had professionals look at it for the first time. They just, the looks on their face when they see that video about what a farce that whole thing was. It was obviously staged by actors, crisis actors that got together, didn't know what they were doing. They ad-libbed it. You can see the directors in this little crowd telling people where to stand and what to do and pointing. When a bullet just went off, it's just the weirdest thing, sir. There's no emergency workers that show up. There's no paramedics that rush in. It's quite comical, sir. It was a joke. And it's, when you see it, you can tell that the entire event was staged months ahead of time. That is something that's an event that they had planned like any other false flag that we've ever investigated in the past, sir.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through now the website, BitChute channel Jim Fetzer, to find it. And there have to be 50 videos. You're going to have to scroll a ways because this would put up some time back. I'm going to find for the exact title. But this is one you don't want to miss. If you want objective proof this was a staged, phony, fake event, here you have it in a 21-minute video that just lays it out and shows, just as Danny is observing, that this shooting itself appears also to have been faked and fabricated. So we have more of the kinds of stunts that Barack Obama authorized by nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. Danny, it's disgusting beyond belief what Barack Obama has done to the United States.
Well, I would agree, sir. The Smith-Mundt Act, I'm glad you pointed it out, because right after he repealed the Smith-Mundt Act, and just to let everybody know, you know, that was an act that made it so the U.S. government could not propagandize the American people. They couldn't pull off these false flags. It was illegal to do so. And as soon as he stealthily shut down and got rid of the Smith-Mundt Act, you know, and of course none of the media covered that, then all of a sudden we had Sandy Hook, and then we had a slew of these false flags that we investigated, most of them one after another. And some people can remember at the time that we were getting one, sometimes two false flags a week there for a while. So, I mean, they were really trying to distract the American public. It was almost getting to be a joke. You know, I know Pete Santilli busted open a few of them, you know, that were just so comical. You can see the CGI. You can see they were completely fake and phony, but yet they just kept bringing them on in almost like in a desperation mode they were at that point to lobby Congress to do something to take away our guns. It was just really getting comical there for a while. So I hope everybody will look into the Smith-Mundt Act and realize that that law needs to be restored and put back on the books, because we are being propagandized with these false flags to take our weapons.
I completely agree, Danny. I'm still scrolling, so it's obviously much further down the list, or maybe 100 videos before we get to it. Danny, do you have the title right there? Do you have the date? Because that would make it fairly easy to find here as I scroll down. I'm looking for it, and I haven't hit it yet, but I mean, this is a doozy. This really blows the whole thing apart in 21 minutes. This is something you do not want. Yeah, Danny.
Yeah, I don't have it handy, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't have it handy. I could probably find it on another one of my computers and send it to you, but I can urge everybody that is on your blog, maybe we can you can reload it after the show and then get it back up to the top so people will have reference. I know I have the link somewhere, so I'll be able to find it, because I do show it to people from time to time when that comes up in conversation. But again, I would highly recommend everybody to search for that video and watch it when you can, because it really exposes the Capitol like no other video. And of course, it is one of the most highly censored video on YouTube. It's struck down immediately when somebody tries to post it. I'm really glad that you had posted it or reposted it back on BitChute, because that has been very, very useful, sir.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I'm going to find it. Danny, why don't you give us your assessment of the current State of the Union here? And then after the break, we'll invite callers who can have questions for you and me alike, which we'll be glad to field. Just give us your assessment of what's going on in the United States and where we're heading.
Well, I mean, we're obviously under some sort of globalist attack. I mean, they're signaling us, sir, in so many ways that they cannot stand the American people. I mean, if we take a look at what Joe Biden has been doing, or if it is really Joe Biden, it's fake Joe Biden, as some people call him. I mean, look at his mandate, sir. We're already seeing exemptions that he's handing out. And right away when I saw this, I told you the other day, it reminds me a lot of Obamacare and a page right out of Obamacare. You know, with Obamacare, if you remember, Obama started handing out exemptions right away to Congress, because Congress was complaining that their employees couldn't pay those big $1,200 premiums. And then all of a sudden we started seeing big companies that started donating to him, getting exemptions. I remember McDonald's being one of them. There were several that were getting exemptions. Well, we're seeing that with the jab now. Okay. And it's unbelievable, sir. We're seeing the Afghan refugees that are being evacuated from Afghanistan before the Americans, and they're getting an exemption to the jab. They're handing out ivermectin to them on the airplanes as they fly over here. It's ridiculous. They don't have to take the jab. We're seeing illegals coming over the border. They're exempt from the jab. How is that possible? We're seeing judges, we're seeing Congress and their employees exempt from the jab. And guess what, sir? We're seeing the post office and all postal employees exempt from the jab. Is that like a little kickback or reward for what they did to help steal the election when they stole all those ballots? It seems like they're giving out exemptions to everybody that's going along with the deep state. But you know what? For the Americans that don't like all this stuff, we get the jab. What is going on with these exemptions, sir? There's corruption everywhere.
And of course, they want to give the jab because the jab are going to destroy their political enemies. It's really horrifying what's taking place. I found it, Danny. What happened at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, on my blog at James BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, the date April 17th, 2021. April 17th, 2021. And let me see if I can pull up. There is a BitChute address, but those, of course, are just a lot of numbers and letters. Meanwhile, let me announce, call in. Anyone who would like to call in and speak with Danny and me, the number is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And we'll have the calls open for the whole second hour. Danny, I'm so glad you reminded me of my invite to bring you in. It's wonderful to have you back on the air again, my friend. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, sir. I sure appreciate that. It's always good to be on your show, sir. It's always an honor to get the information that desperately needs to get out to the public, sir.
So we'll be right back after this break. You'll be welcome to give us your calls and your thoughts about any of these issues or others as well. 540-352-4452.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, our first caller on the line is Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yes, hello, guys. You hear me okay?
Yes.
All righty. Did you, you got my USB of your old shows and stuff that I sent you?
Yes, 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 I did. Bruce, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope they're helpful, you know. I know when you get deplatformed and stuff, you can lose things. So there you have it.
Excellent.
Yeah, good show overall. Of course, you know, I'll be a critic when I feel like I need to. And this thing about, I always ask, and we always need to ask this question when there's a false flag, like who benefits, you know, qui bono? And usually it's on the side of the government, you know, false flag terror to mobilize for war or to push for gun control or to raise a specter of white supremacists on the loose and what have you. But I don't see Ki Bono and Ashley Babbitt being shot. I listened to her widower being interviewed on Alex Jones, and he seemed pretty impassioned and legitimate. And her parents also filing suit. And I just posted a snapshot of her on the floor with blood coming out of her mouth and her neck. I mean, if you have a blood bag, like what happened in Christchurch, you know, you have gaffes and you have to have a blood bag hidden in the clothing or what have you, or have amputee actors or what have you. I just don't see it there. Those could be, you know, agent provocateurs, but, you know, crisis actors. I just don't see it, Danny. But convince
me
otherwise.
Let me make a few preliminaries and then Danny can pick it up. You see what appears to be a little blood packet being handed to her when she's laid on the ground. They needed to have somebody die so they could talk about the intrusion as having been a deadly event. They had to have it. So the Democrats benefited politically when the whole thing was a stunt. we're dealing with crisis actors. So you got a purported widower comes on and sounds sincere. I'm sorry, Bruce, but you're being played. Danny, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, sir, I respect all the callers. And Bruce, I can tell you that I have so many hours analyzing the video that me and Dr. Fetzer talked about earlier. And I can guarantee you 100%. I've had a lot of other experts look at that video. The entire thing was staged. The girl that is in that video, perhaps maybe that's not even an Ashley Babbitt. There's no way to actually ID the woman that's in the video. But in the video that day, the girl that they said was shot was definitely not shot with a firearm. Okay. If there's any way you can find that link, and I resent the link to Dr. Fetzer, and you can watch that video on his BitChute channel. I would highly encourage you to watch it a few times, and you'll see the crisis actors pay very close attention to the behavior of the two armed police officers that are wearing SWAT uniforms with helmets, and watch what they do with their rifles. Watch how they smile and give the thumbs up. They don't even really react when the firearm goes off. Watch the firearm over to the left when it goes off. Watch the trajectory, how it's not even in her direction. It's over her head. Watch when she falls back. Watch the pillow that's placed under her head and as they help her down and lower her to the ground and put a pillow under her head so she doesn't smack her head. You can clearly watch them wipe the blood pack on. She has no blood from being shot. She has no holes in her garment, no nothing. I've seen many gunshots in real life. It's not a real gunshot, sir. It's just not the way it happens. Watch the video. The entire thing was a staged false flag. As far as Alex Jones having somebody on his show, good for him. You know, Alex does some good reporting here and there, but he is not immune from having a crisis actor or somebody come on his show saying that they're somebody that they're not. This is not the first time we've seen this kind of thing, and I can guarantee you that whole entire day was set up well ahead of time. Nobody was shot. It was all crisis actors. Watch the video and you will see for yourself, 100% guaranteed.
You say you've seen people shot. Can I ask you in what role or how was that possible?
I'm a former law
enforcement. Danny has an extensive background in law enforcement, Bruce.
Yeah, I have an extensive background in EMS as a paramedic for 8 years.
Oh, yeah?
And I've seen plenty of people shot myself.
I love it. Well, then, Bruce, don't you agree that it was improper when just a couple of guys just took her down the stairway? They just carried her, not waiting for EMF to show up to provide medical treatment and a stretcher and all that. Didn't you find that highly improper?
Well, they took her away, but she was on a stretcher. She was intubated also.
Yeah, but when you have a sucking chest wound, Bruce, okay, you got two SWAT officers there. Yep, she was hit in the chest on the video. Watch the video, okay? And you'll see also the two SWAT cops. Real police have basic first aid training. Some of them are medic trained and have a paramedic certificate. And you're going to notice that those police officers don't do anything to try and render aid. Nobody even tries to put pressure on the wound when she's hit. Watch the video, Bruce.
I've been around a lot of cops at scenes, and only tactical EMS and DPS troopers that I've encountered are medically trained. A lot of them, they're only good for holding an IV bag. But
I'll tell you what.
Any further, and don't get upset.
These two guys don't even raise a finger.
Okay, bye bye. I gotta go now.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate your call. I'm glad you called in. Thanks. Anyone else that'd like to call? Remember the number 540-352-4452, and Mitchell will handle your call. I know you may be out of practice calling in because we've had a succession of guest hosts, and I haven't been here, but I'd love to hear from everyone who's got an interest in speaking out. Danny, did you want to further comment on Bruce? I think he wasn't completely satisfied with our discussion.
Yeah, I'm not sure, sir, if he's seen the video. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. You know, even myself, to let everybody know, until I saw that video, I wasn't sure what was going on. I saw some of the video highlights from outside with the police waving in the crowd. I saw much of the cell phone video. But when that video was released from inside the Capitol that day, when I actually analyzed that and saw the breakdown of when she was shot and all the crisis actors, you can see what they're doing in their behavior. It's absolutely obvious, 100%. You know, when she was shot, sir, there was no trauma to the area. And again, nobody even tried to put pressure over the wound, which is first aid 101. No one even tried to cover the wound. She had, you know, a bullet wound, and nobody even tried to stop the bleeding or cover her at first. And you have two trained police officers standing there with somebody bleeding on the floor, and nobody tried to render aid. You know, they didn't even try to cover the wound with their hand to stop the pressure. I mean, police officers just don't act like that. These guys were crisis actors. They weren't real trained police officers. There's no way they would have reacted like that after a gunshot went off in their direction like that, sir. Just no chance. The whole thing was fabricated.
Yes, yes, yes. Danny, why don't I squeeze in another article and you can comment on it, and then if anyone calls, we'll just field them as they come in. This is very nice from the Health Impact News. We are living through the greatest scam and cover-up in human history. Are you prepared for what comes next? This is by Brian Shilhavy. This week, the Biden administration did something no other president in the history of the United States has ever done before: issue a federal mandate requiring people to get a vaccine as a condition for employment. His executive order covered federal employees and private businesses with more than 100 employees. However, some corporate media organizations have claimed the federal mandate has exemptions, not based on religious or medical issues, but based on privileged political status. Newsweek: members of Congress and their staff are exempt from Biden's vaccine mandate. Washington Post: federal postal service workers not included in Biden's mandate, vaccine order source says. In addition, the White House press secretary admitted the COVID-19 vaccine mandate did not apply to illegal immigrants walking across the border. So it's obvious this mandate has nothing to do with public health, has everything to do with appeasing the Wall Street slave masters and Big Pharma. Prior to this week, vaccine laws and mandates have always been a state issue. It's important to note this is an executive order and not a law. It's highly unlikely the administration could ever get such a law passed through Congress. However, I think it would be foolish to expect that this will be overturned by the courts. Some courts may, but the Supreme Court is firmly under the control of the corporate billionaires and bankers who've actually run this country. Almost everything about the COVID-19 pandemic has been illegal, from requiring people to wear masks, to lockdowns, to approving novel new drugs and vaccines for a sickness that has multiple FDA-approved drugs already on the market that are effective in treating the symptoms related to COVID-19, including, of course, HCQ and ivermectin. I'm delighted we have a second caller, and it's Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Good morning. Glad to join. Thanks for the invitation. I had to chuckle when you said that some of you callers out there may be a little out of practice. And I kept thinking to myself, I could just be dripping naked coming out of the shower and not had coffee for days, and I'd be ready to call in.
Although we occasionally have differences, Paul, I always like hearing from you. So lay it on.
All right, good. I got a little bit of a rant in me, so I'm going to attack about three different things here. I'm going to do it in short order, and then we can get responses and interaction. First one is this whole concept of mandates and exemptions. It's driving me crazy. I've appeared many times on Republic Broadcasting, and I've called into other shows, including this one, and I've tried to make clear the simplicity of the law. They want it to be complex, but in many ways, it's very simple. So The term mandate is bogus and fraudulent. It means nothing. In fact, courts have held before that this is not enforceable. These are not, they don't have the force and effect of law. And this is not even debatable. So the idea that you need an exemption from something that doesn't have the force and effect of law is ridiculous, and it should not even be discussed. I just wish I could get almost the entire nation to listen to this. Anybody can read about this if you want. It doesn't take that much reading. But the bottom line is there's at least five cases that I know of now, two of which I have on my desktop. One was Wolf versus Butler in Pennsylvania. That was a U.S. District Court decision. It was over 60 pages in length. The other is Kiley versus Newsom. Now, here in California, that was a Superior Court decision. It was only 9 pages. I printed it out and I carried it around with me, and it was quite simple. The guy that brought the case, there was two people. One was a California assemblyman and the other was a business owner. And they brought it on two different points. And the main one was the fact that Gavin Newsom, by his executive orders, was trying to change California election law. All right. And so what the judge basically said is that you, Gavin Newsom, do not have the authority or the power to amend or make statutory law. So he was essentially trying to amend, or in this case, actually eliminate provisions already in California election law that would have forbidden what he wanted to do with the mail-in ballots. And as a matter of fact, at the end of the ruling, which anybody can read because, of course, it's only 9 pages, she clearly states that he, Newsom, does not have any authority under the California Emergency Services Act, CESA, to do any of the things that he was doing, and that he was permanently enjoined from issuing further orders, okay? So even, for example, these governors that say, well, I mandate this and I mandate that, they don't have the authority to do that, but they're just doing it anyway. And the reason they say mandate is because there is no law. The legal process is simple. The legislature passes a law, usually after a lot of a debate, and then it submits the law to the governor for signing. And of course, the governor can veto it if he wants, and then the legislature could override the veto of those sorts of provisions. But the reason they're saying mandate over and over again is because they know there is no law. And also quickly on fines, the government is supposedly threatening to fine businesses. It's ridiculous. It doesn't have any basis in the law. In order to impose a fine, there has to be a statutory basis. All our laws are codified into statutes. If there is no law to break, if there's no statute to break, and there's no statutory provision for a fine, because almost all cases, the law actually provides for the fines or the range of fines, such as up to $1,000 or up to 6 months in prison, that sort of thing. None of those things exist. This is all fraud. And I'm so tired of hearing discussion in the media and even discussion on talk shows as if these executives have any power at all. In the decision in Pennsylvania, which is 60-something pages, and I read almost all of it, but I got bored because I already knew what it was. The judge ruled, a U.S. District Court judge said, that the governor of Pennsylvania had no authority in his office nor under the emergency act that was declared to tell any business to close down or to restrict their hours or to impose a mask mandate. So the other decisions that I know of that I haven't read are Colorado, right? Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Those were state decisions. The Colorado was a U.S. District Court decision. And so that's, to me, I'm thinking to myself, the main problem that we have here besides the media is just the complete lack of ignorance on the part of the American public. They don't know the difference between a law and a so-called executive order, which only apply to the employees of the corporation. California is a corporation. Right. The county where I live, Santa Clara County, is incorporated. It's a corporation. So all these executive orders and mandates only apply to those people working for the government. And they don't even have to do it if they feel like they want to lose their job. OK, so I'll take a break here if you want to react. Thanks for hearing.
Well, Paul, I got to tell you, this is one of the best calls you've ever made, because every point you were making was so telling, even devastating. And to my understanding, completely accurate, truthful, spot on, showing how we're being run by a vast propaganda mechanism where there's no respect for truth or the law whatsoever. Danny, your thoughts on Paul's observations?
Well, yeah, I agree with that, sir. I mean, you know, you can't make a law with an executive order. And what these governors have been doing, sir, and now our fake president, is basically they're asserting authority that they don't have by citing that it's an emergency. All of these governors, these Democrat governors that are doing these things, keep citing new powers through this fake, phony emergency. And that is where the legality comes. They keep asserting, well, it's an emergency, so therefore we can do this, we can do that. Well, you know, even under the emergency, they don't have a right to use executive order to make law, just like Paul said. And it's a matter of enforcement. Who's going to enforce it? I'd like to point out, sir, that his order also had sort of an out, if you would, and it had the word or in there when I read it. And what I'm saying is, it said to get vaxxed, you know, and it is political with all these exemptions. I mean, why would the post office be exempt and their employees from getting the jab? But the word or in the executive order was about testing, and it said or face weekly testing. And I wanted to touch on that for a minute because weekly testing can be very expensive, especially for 100 employees. It runs around $1,200 a month, okay, and that's a key number, $1,200 a month to test somebody throughout the month once a week for this fake PCR test. We all know Dr. Kelly Mullen exposed his own test, and, you know, it was sold to us that the PCR test was a definitive singularity test just to check for this mysterious COVID-19, when in fact that's not at all what it does. But Biden is saying you have to submit to weekly tests in his executive order if you don't get the jab. Well, then that means there's an undue financial burden that is put on the employer, much like Obamacare. To me, it looked just like Obamacare when I saw it, because what happens is he's saying that all these employers have to pay $1,200 a month per employee to do these weekly PCR tests. And we know the employers can't afford that and aren't going to do it. Are they going to try and pass that cost on to the employee? How many employees would agree to have $1,200 a month deducted from their paycheck to keep their job, to pay for the PCR test? Would they even be willing to pay half?
By the way, Danny, it's worth pointing out, too, that the CDC has abandoned the PCR test. It's in their own documents. So the whole
I realize that. And the FDA put out a class one recall on the PCR test, and the media refuses to cover that. And that's on FDA.gov, where they cite that the FDR or the PCR test does not work and stop using it. But yet every hospital in this country keeps sticking swabs up people's noses, even though the FDA came out with that class one recall and said to stop using it. And we all know why they're using it, because they don't have any other test for the COVID-19, and they want to keep the scam going. So they're still swabbing, even though they were told not to swab. And we all know that. But I just want to point out that they're using a financial weapon in this executive order as well to lean on all these small businesses. And basically what it comes down to when you analyze it is they're putting a gun to everybody's head and saying, listen, if you want to keep your employees, it's going to cost you $1,200 a month in PCR testing, or you're going to have to deduct the $1,200 from each employee. Wouldn't it be easier if you just fired each employee and replaced them with a jabbed employee? And that is just the pressure they're using at this point in time.
But there is no gun to the head. There is no statutory basis for any of this. And unfortunately, when you said small businesses, 100 employees are not small. So what's going to happen is the bigger places, okay, that are in on it, that are being paid. There's no doubt about this in my mind, okay, that this is a money pandemic production. It's all it is. They don't want to give up the ghost or the illusion, and they're willing to pay to keep it going. They're not going to be fining anybody except for the suckers who don't seem to, you know, have any contact with reality. All these big corporations have legal departments. I've received correspondence from a couple of legal departments of these, in particular O'Reilly's and Trader Joe's, when I sent letters to the CEO informing them of the scam of this whole mask requirement that they're trying to perpetrate. So the bottom line is they are all in on it, the bigger corporations. And there's, in my opinion, there's not going to be any attempt to find small businesses. And if there is, of course, anybody that has any knowledge at all can contest it in court. But I think the more important point to make here, besides the fraud of all of this stuff, is the fact that we get the FDA involved in some fashion, form, or shape. And Jim pointed out earlier that, people are resigning from the FDA. And that may all be well and good. But the bottom line is the FDA has a history of approving all sorts of nefarious things in the past. And when you actually read, which I've done, this letter, so-called letter of approval, which is dissected by many, including Miles Mathis, you realize that people at the FDA have to be in on this fraud, too. They could have made that letter one page, and it could have been simple. I would have made it one page. Instead, what they did is they perpetrated a further fraud by saying that they approved this other vaccine, this Comirnaty, or whatever however you want to say it, right, this RNA vaccine, which is not available here. That's approved, okay? But the other one that's still going on here, the experimental use, that's not approved. So essentially what they did, and Miles Mathis wrote a brilliant, I think it's a 6-page paper on this right away, where the title of it is, did the FDA approve the vaccine? Nope. And all they did was approve a vaccine that is not going to be available to the American people, and they did it in a very deceptive manner. So none of these government agencies are on our side. In fact, I don't think that we have any redress in the system at all. I've made this clear to Jim for years, and you know, he's been gracious enough to hear it. I just think all the evidence points to is that these people are looking for a fight. They're going to keep going and going and going to provoke something. And sooner or later, in my opinion, we have to give it to them. That's just where I come out on that.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that for sure.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Excellent, excellent, excellent. We're coming up to the break. Paul, if you'd like to squeeze in another comment before we hit it, I want you to stay on. I'm glad to have more comments from you. If there's something else you'd like to add in brief compass, since we're about to hit the break, add it now.
How much time do I have?
Oh, about 40 seconds.
Nothing I can do in 40 seconds, Jim, but I will hang out for a little bit more.
Okay, good, 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 good. Danny, I'm just so pleased to have you here. I think Paul's been making a series of really penetrating points to get to the heart of the matter, that this whole thing is a fraud in every possible level. It's a political campaign to promote an agenda that is very harmful to the mental, physical health of American citizens and may bring about the death of a very large number of us, with very high probability, I'd say virtual certainty. So we're hitting the break. We'll be right back with Paul and Danny, and you're welcome to call in. 540-352-4452. Call in.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh. Please leave your message for 5.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer here with Paul and Danny, and we're taking your calls. There is another caller standing by I'm going to bring in momentarily. Bruce in Texas, Danny, has sent us a photograph where we have what appear to be security police applying pressure. I sent it to you in your email, but you may or may not be able to access that while you're on the phone. I don't know. Anyway, if you get a chance to look at it, we can certainly talk about it because Bruce is offering evidence here that supports what he was claiming. Meanwhile, we have area code 303 joining us. Please give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hey, Jim, it's Sal, Colorado.
Oh, Sal, how are you, my friend? Great to hear from you.
All right. Good to hear you guys, hear you back hitting it hard. Your 9/11 shows these last few days have just been fantastic, especially that one on Saturday on Rev Radio. That was just get everybody all together and get this all discussed. It was amazing. And I really love
Scorpio. Dennis,
what's that guy's last name?
Scorpio,
yeah,
Dennis Camino.
No, I'm talking about Dennis.
Dennis Camino.
Yeah, he needs his own show. Somebody's got to get him set up for the show. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He's terrific. He was one of my featured speakers during the Vancouver hearings held in June of 2012 on 9/11. Go ahead, Sal.
I do agree that the Ashley Babbitt thing seems to be completely staged. If he got shot in the neck like that, spattering blood like a geyser, right?
Yes. Danny's saying it was a chest wound rather than a neck wound, but it's been my impression it was a neck wound. Danny probably has it right. Go ahead.
I can see it now, sir, that photograph.
Yeah.
I do see the photo, but what I'm saying by analyzing that video, if you look at it, when she's first shot, quite a bit of time goes by before they do anything. Nobody rushes to her, and then it's only after, and I'll have to go back and count the seconds or the minutes before anybody touches her, but there's quite a bit of time that goes by until they put the blood pack on her where there's no blood. So So there's nothing going on for a long period of time. And then they put the blood pack on her. And then you see this. I'm referring to when she was first shot, sir, and how they reacted when they laid her back on the floor and nobody touched her at first. Of course, they did this after they put the blood pack. So you have to go back and watch the video that you posted on your BitChute to get the timeline of events, sir. This is just a still image after they put the blood on her, not before when she was shot.
Good, good comments, Danny. Sal, I know you were wanting to say more about the Ashley Babbitt appearing to be staged. Go ahead.
I really think that the biggest reason I think it's staged is because it's one of the first things we saw from this January 6th insurrection, you know, about everything. And, you know, and it's like, of course, it's Trump's fault because, you know, he was over there giving a speech while this was all happening. And of course, while he was giving that speech, he was simultaneously telepathically telling everybody to smash up the Capitol. I forgot. That's right. You know, he's a horrible man with his evil telepathy and orange skin and stuff.
Yes, yes. Paul, would you like to come back in?
Sure. Just quickly on the Ashley Babbitt, I do have some other stuff, but we can go back and forth. Miles Mathis, you know, I hate to keep mentioning him, but and obviously he's not my only source. But I read his paper on Ashley Babbitt because right away he came out with one. And there's zero doubt about the fact that it was staged. And he also goes into the genealogy, as he always does. And she is more than likely Jewish or, you know, probably definitively Jewish. And I believe, don't quote me on this, I'd have to recheck, but I think that her father was also in the military and might even have been in military intelligence. But it's no accident that many of these people that they use are in the military. And a lot of times these military people love to use their own children in these false flags. And this goes all the way back to Colonel Paul Tate, who was in U.S. Army intelligence, using his daughter, Sharon Tate, in one of the biggest and first mass murder hoaxes that was perpetrated. And when you read his paper, which is the very first paper I read of Miles Mathis, 82-page PDF, which is probably the equivalent of a 200-page book, he leaves no doubt that whole thing was fake. And it was a project, just like so many things that they do projects, and mostly it's to manipulate our minds. And that's why as many intelligent comments as Bruce has made, when he said that, you know, you got to look at it from, you know, who benefits, qui bono. And then he starts going off on he couldn't see who benefited. Well, you just lost me there, Bruce. I don't understand how you could not see how they benefit from this. So that'd be my comment on Ashley Babbitt.
Bruce, of course, is not still on with us at the moment. But good points. Good points, Paul. Sal, did you want to add a few more, and then I'll come back to Danny. Sal,
get you off mute there. Yes, I agree that the people that are on the inside, and you know, with the nepotism, they all end up benefiting from this. So, if this, you know, Ashley Babbitt, you know, part of the act and everything like that, she's in Barbados having cocktails in her new condominium, you know, or something.
Yeah, I get it. Danny, your further thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Dr. Fetzer, just to put this one to bed, we've never done a special report just on that video and the analytics and the breakdown. So may I make a suggestion, sir?
Sure.
You know, a guest that you have on from time to time, Scott Bennett, and he's really good at depicting these scenes as well. I know I worked with him and you for the Kobe helicopter crash. He had a lot of really good observations on that crash, picking out forensic evidence and whatnot. And a suggestion would be, sir, that maybe we all get together in a special report that we videotape, where it's me, Scott Babb, maybe Paul could even join us in a round table. And we go through the video that we're talking about, the 21-minute video, and we can pause it. And as we go along, we can freeze frame it and we can break this down one after one so people can see how comical this is, sir. I think that would be a very valuable report.
Danny, I think that's a great idea for a real deal report, a special. Would you and Scott and Paul, would you be up for joining?
Depends on the timing of it, but thanks. I'm flattered that you ask.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to hear Paul on that as well as Scott, because I know I've analyzed it too many times over. And when you pause it and then just talk about it, I mean, you can point out scene by scene how fake everything is. And I just think, sir, that video would just really amplify that situation and show the public what a farce that entire situation was.
Well, Danny, I'm going to put it on my agenda, and I'll reach out to everyone when I have everything set up and arranged to do it. I like the idea very much. Paul, did you want to add more right now?
Sure, just quickly. So just in summation, once again, before I move on to the virus, which I want to touch quickly, is fines to be imposed have to have a statutory basis. And if there's no statutory basis for the fine, you can't just say, well, you owe me money. And that's essentially what they're trying to do. In other words, a mandate or a command, that's all a mandate is. If anybody wants to search term mandate and read about it, it won't take you long to realize this whole thing is a fraud and it's all bogus. So a mandate simply means a command. And in order to impose a requirement in the law, requirement is the same as obligation. If you look up under the civil codes, it's very simple and very quick. Under obligations, which means you're obligated to do something, obligations can arise as a matter of law or contract. That's it. Two things, law or contract. And a requirement is an obligation under the law. So when anybody purports, and it's a great word, purport, by the way, any governor or mayor or city council or anybody else purports to require you to do something, you just need to ask them for their legislatively granted statutory authority to do so. And I've done that. I wrote to the city council here. I wrote to the county health officer. I don't need to write to the governor of California because he's already admitted he doesn't have any authority to mandate anything. He actually said it in a press conference, July 27th, 2020. So there you go. Laws, mandates, fines, you know, requirements, you know, executive orders. It can all be confusing, but we need to just make it simple. Just quickly on the virus thing, you know, I wish I could just wave a magic wand and change everybody's thinking on viruses. I know that, Jim, you and I have a lot of points of agreement. We may have some points where we diverge. But if you've watched most of the videos get posted on your site, and I understand that Michael Ivey posts a lot of them on your BitChute channel, if you just saw maybe a third, half of those things, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that most people, including yourself, just by the logic of it, would be convinced that viruses play no role in disease, nor do bacteria. And it's been experimentally demonstrated that they don't. And meanwhile, it has not been experimentally demonstrated that they do. In fact, they want to avoid any discussion of science behind the so-called idea that viruses cause disease. So this notion of a Wuhan lab gain of function, in my opinion, I wish I could put this to bed because I think it's nothing but diversion to keep people afraid of something when we don't have to be afraid of anything. And I think, Jim, you've made the case with your statistics on the mortality tables and the fact that in many cases, the average age of death of the COVID victims supposedly corresponds with the average age of death anyway, and that so many of these victims were in nursing homes. I think that there's zero evidence that there's any function, gain of function, lab release, or anything else. I think, again, it's a diversion to keep the idea of a virus being an agent or transmissible thing that we can get that causes us to be ill. I believe now that I've looked into this thing for a year, I believe, my belief is that it's all nonsense and it's been that way for a long time. It's nothing more than a means of control.
Paul, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. And you have made many, many arguments, and you're certainly correct. Michael Ivey has been doing a brilliant job of maintaining my BitChute channel and adds a lot of really super, especially medical reports about the pandemic and the vaccines and all that. So I defer to what you are explaining based upon those reviews. I think you're probably right. So Danny, your thoughts?
Well, you know, two things on what Paul said. I agree with the mandate thing. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to enforce it. I mean, you know, they're not going to send police with guns to every single business to try and enforce some sort of a mandate. There'd be so many backlash in the court. I mean, literally millions of cases are going to be filed around the United States if they try to start fining these businesses, you know, for not letting their employees go because they're not following the vaccine requirement or whatever. So I think this is a distraction, sir, to the Arizona elections based on the timing, for sure. But what Paul just said medically, you know, I have a lot of friends and family, we'll leave it at that, that is, they're at the local hospitals. This thing has been a farce from the beginning. Okay, I get blow by blow almost daily on what's going on in a few of our local hospitals. And you know what? I even have relatives that work right in what's called the COVID wing since this started. And one particular relative told me the other day that they haven't even seen a death in 7 months. And when they saw that death, it was for some other reasons with comorbidities, and it had nothing to do with COVID. And they'll be in the COVID wing taking care of these PCR tested positive people. And many of them will ask, what are they doing there? Because they have no symptoms and that they'd like to go home. And then often they'll look at the television as these patients are watching TV when they're in the COVID wing. And the local news is talking about how the hospital is filled with people dying. And they're looking at the TV while they're working at the COVID wing saying, that's a lie. I'm here working as a medical professional and there's nobody here dying. Can you imagine being in that position when you're actually working inside of a COVID wing, watching CNN or some local news channel lie directly to the American public about what's going on in the place where you're actually working? This whole thing has been a joke from the start, sir. The only people that are in the hospital right now are the vaccinated injured, okay? And what's really ironic, and I don't know if Paul knows this, but the PCR tested positive people with no symptoms are getting put into what's called a COVID wing. Okay, that's what's happening here, at least in California and many other states. They're getting put it into this COVID wing. But people that are coming in vaccine damaged or injured or having flu symptoms after being vaxxed, they're being put in general rooms with the general population, which is the opposite of what should be happening. The protocols right at the hospital are completely screwed up. I think they're done on purpose. The people that have come into the hospital have been vaxxed are doing what's called shedding. They're oozing out of their pores the spike protein, and that's actually contagious and making people sick. If anything, those people should be isolated, but they're not. Right. They're putting them on the general floor, and the ones that just flip the PCR test, they just immediately at the hospital label that person a COVID. It's ridiculous. They could have a cold. They could have a million other diseases that the PCR test can be picking up on. And then, I have a couple of very close relatives, and I was told the other day that they get $60,000 a person, okay, they get $60,000 for admitting a patient that has tested positive on the PCR test. So then we have the financial gain that's behind that. There's a political motive. I almost feel at one of our local hospitals that they're keeping senior citizens there that tested positive on this PCR test, and they're almost holding them hostage against their will. When you have several of them asking their nurse, excuse me, miss, can you tell me why I'm in the hospital? I'd like to go home. What are they doing there? Is it just so they can report to the news that they have patients in there that have COVID or had tested positive for the PCR? It doesn't mean they have COVID because they at some point tested positive with the PCR. The FDA already told us, stop using the PCR test. It doesn't work. Why do they keep using that as the definitive test in California on whether you have COVID or not? It doesn't work. There's a scam, sir, going on today at our local correct hospitals. The protocols are in place for a reason. They're denying people ivermectin, and they're putting them on remdesivir, which is causing them to get sick, and then they shove them on a ventilator, and they're killing them. That's one protocol. Right. You have another protocol where they're breaking them down and they're lying about the PCR test and putting them in a special wing. And then you have the vaccine injured that are coming in that are actually contagious and have problems because of the vaccine, and they're putting them in the general population. So there's a big problem going on in the hospital. There's nurses all over the web blowing the whistle on this. But guess what? Because of the censorship, the general public doesn't get to hear about all this stuff, sir.
Paul, pick it up.
So thanks. You just did everything to bolster my case, and I can't agree more with so much of what you said. I think that I almost want to say, if we're in the court, I rest my case, Your Honor, that if it looks like a fraud and quacks like a fraud and everything that you see is a fraud, then the very basis of it has got to be a fraud. And in fact, this is the evil, the devious evil of the system that we have, is they'll take people that might otherwise be fine and they'll make them worse and even injure them and kill them. The worst thing that could happen to somebody is to be diagnosed with COVID and then you just follow the doctor's guidelines or protocols, because they're going to give you these drugs like remdesivir. They're going to want to shove a plastic tube down your lungs. In order to do that, they got to give you a paralytic agent, and they want to basically blow your lungs out with high pressure oxygen. You don't need that. Nobody needs
that.
It
killed my life.
The body reacts to it by dying in most cases. So this whole system has got to be smashed to the ground, in my opinion. And Danny, I'll add one more little anecdote to what you just said about these hospitals. Is when my dad was taken to the hospital a few months ago because he fell, and he was basically dehydrated again. You know, they wanted to give him a COVID test. I was approached two different times in the waiting room, right? Wanted to give him a COVID test by two different people, refused both times. And one of them was an RN. I saw on her tag, it said RN. I said, well, what is this COVID test for anyway? And she goes, well, it tests for COVID-19. And I said, well, what is that exactly? And she goes, you know, I really don't know. That's a good question. So here we have an RN in the hospital, okay? This actually happened to me, first-person testimony, who says, that's a good question, I really don't know. So these people are all operating, living under and being paid by a system of fraud. And Jim, to use your words, it's staggering, it's stunning, it's infuriating.
Yeah, great points. Danny?
Well, you know, just to add to what Paul said, we had a whistleblower, and there's been several since then, but I'm going to cite one out of Southern California, a PhD. He actually runs a lab that does all the lab testing. It's one of the bigger labs in Southern California, and we could probably do a whole show around this. But what he said was, he came out and he said, there is no such thing as COVID-19. And when I saw that, I was taken back. And he explained that he has spent 30 years under electron microscope. And he is the actual man that sits under the microscope and decides, when tests come in, what disease you have. So in other words, he explained that diseases often have under up to 128,000 lines of code. And you have to have a PhD and have his expertise to go through these lines of code to decide if you're looking at Lyme's disease, are you looking at some form of cancer, what are you looking at? And he asked the CDC and others around the country over and over, can I please have a sample so I know what COVID-19 looks like? And finally, the CDC admitted to him that they did not have a sample of COVID-19. He found around the world, with all of his samples he turned in, it was either influenza A or influenza B. And they had no sample of COVID-19 to one of the most profound guys in California that does the dissecting of diseases under the microscope. He got so pissed off at this, he decided that his lab is suing the CDC for COVID-19 fraud, because nobody in the world has a sample of COVID-19 and has ever seen it. And the second case was a Canadian case where a gentleman went to court to fight a mask ticket that he got, a fine for wearing a mask. And he was able to, in Canada, bring the health minister of Canada into the courtroom, and they had to admit to the judge that they didn't have a sample of COVID-19 and nobody had it. And the judge was so upset in Alberta, he lifted all of the COVID sanctions in the province of Alberta as a result. So now countries around the world are coming forward and said, we've had enough. If you cannot provide us a sample of COVID-19 so we can see it under a microscope, we are done with this fraud. but yet our media keeps pushing it with a PCR test as if COVID-19 is real, when in reality, sir, nobody has actually seen a sample of under a microscope of what COVID-19 looks like.
Danny, you're 100% spot on. We're winding down, but we have a late caller, area code 904. Give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Hi, I'm calling from Florida. I just wanted to say briefly, I was listening to an old Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, interview from 07. He talked about what ID stands for is ideal design. And he was talking about these psychopaths and the ID. I believe that the ID in the COVID stands for ideal design from what they are trying to do to people. That's all I had to say. Thanks.
Okay. Glad you could call and join in. Sal, I assume you're still here, my friend. Would you like to make a final comment? Sal? If not Sal, Paul.
Yeah, great job. I'm sorry. My mind kind of blanked for a minute there. Danny, what you just said and what you just did was, in my opinion, precisely the point that we're all living under this delusion and illusion perpetrated by the media. There's no medicine behind it. There's no science behind it. And there's actually no law behind it. No emergency suspends the Constitution. And no emergency deprives you of your rights. I just wish people could just burn these simple principles into their minds and this thing would all be over. But where I'm at, California, it just keeps on going because everybody just continues to cooperate no matter what they may think or feel. I do occasionally meet somebody who tends to agree or at least understand things the way I do, but they still mask up when they go to a store.
Paul, I can't thank you enough for calling in today. The other two callers, including Bruce, Danny, you were wonderful, absolutely wonderful. A final thought from you, Danny?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody, sir, to go back and watch Plandemic. You can find it on Rumble and BitChute, and you can clearly see them holding a drill in October of 2019, before anybody even heard of COVID-19, they were so arrogant that they were practicing for the release of the COVID-19 fraud onto the world. They filmed the whole thing down to every last detail, including the media in the video. And you can see the whole fraud before they even announced it to the world. It's quite shocking.
Yes, I believe you're talking about Event 201 on Wednesday. On the event, we have one of the leading experts, brilliant work, Edward Hendry, who's done so much terrific work. I've published many of his blogs, will be our guests on the event. You don't want to miss it. Meanwhile, it's great to be back. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. The event on Wednesday and back with the Raw Deal on Friday.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...